This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure. I didn't feel no pressure.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me. And here we are with another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Not much. You tell me.
You know, I was thinking about how it used to go when you were preaching the Likas rules, and some guy would call you on the phone, and he had broken all the rules. And then he'd say to you, so, you know, now she's pregnant, and she's a single mother, and what do I do now? And you'd say, well, you know, you didn't listen to anything I told you, so it's kind of limited here. We're trying to give you a big picture. I've had a couple of cases lately where guys told me, you know, they've been listening to the show, and they know the story, and they understand what to do, and they got pulled over, for example, for a DUI, and they just, like, couldn't help themselves. They just lost their nerve, and they did whatever the cops said, and they did the test, and they gave the blow test, and the field test, and they talked, and they told the whole story, and gave away everything. I do not understand why this is. I don't know what goes on to guys, how they, like, lose their nerve. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think that, you know, people react differently to stressful situations, and I know that you may have an expectation in your own mind that, you know, if I get pulled over or whatever, I'm going to keep it together, I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, I'm not going to tell the cops anything or whatever. But I think a lot of people get freaked out, and they're actually confronted by the situation, and a lot of that stuff goes out the window. So, I mean, I think you have to try to have a better perspective. You know, what ends up happening, the guy says to me, look, I mean, I did everything the cops told me. I basically signed my own death warrant. What do I do now? Now, I hate to say, you know, there's a hopeless situation or whatever, and I'm always able to find things to do. But in general, why make it more difficult for your defender, you know? If you think about the reality of what's going to happen, you already see that it's happening right before your eyes. You want to, you know, sort of do your own thing where you don't give away so much to the opposition that the police are able to, you know, really basically bag you in such a way that you're going to, you know, definitely get convicted and so forth. I mean, we've seen some things. If you remember a few weeks ago, I had one of my clients call in, and what ended up happening in his case was he insisted on a blood test. They took him to the hospital. It was late at night. It must have been like a shift change. They waited in the hospital for about 2 hours, and the cops got tired of waiting and just left and let him go. And he ended up never, you know, actually doing the test at all. So, I mean, you know, you never know the things that are going to happen, the way that circumstances work out for you if you just sort of keep it to yourself. It's very, very hard to keep it straight, especially if you are a little drunk, actually. But certainly when you're in that situation, a lot of people say to me, well, the cops said I had to and whatnot. And, you know, the truth is that the cop is not your advocate, and he will tell you things like that. I mean, if you're getting the law, remember, you want to take law from a lawyer. You don't want to take law from the cop. If the cop tells you, you know, you have to do this test, you have to do the sobriety, you have to obey what I tell you to do, you know, the answer is that's not true. I was very impressed, and this is something you can see online. You know that Mr. Checkpoint Senate went over a very nasty cop who kept saying to him, you have to, and Senate was actually very patient and said, well, I don't think I have to. You know, he didn't pull it off like, you know, lawyer attitude, like, you know, hey, cop, you're wrong. You know, Senate was right. Was very balanced, and he said to the officer, I don't think I have to. I'm not so sure that you're right about that. and the cop kept hammering him, and obviously it was a long road, but you saw that in the past few weeks, he won a big lawsuit against the police for that. And don't think the police aren't aware of it. They know the things that they get in trouble for, and they're aware of the lines that are around and the things that they're not supposed to do, and they will push it. And if you show any weakness and you show them that you're scared, they will jump all over that. And I've talked to you about, you know, to the audience, about how to walk that line where you're not an asshole and you're not being argumentative, because, as you know, it's a little scary. You don't want to really, you know, confront the cops in a very nasty, abusive way that they're going to get angry and freak out. But on the other hand, you need to be able to talk intelligently and say to them, look, I'm not going to do these things. I'm not going to give it away to you, and not get into these negotiations. It's never constructive. That's the thing about the right to remain silent. You know, when you speak, they're gathering evidence. They're talking about the fact that you slurred your speech, that your eyes are watering, that they smell your breath with alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. You're better off just shutting up. God help us, Tom.
Well,
a lot of little girls, man.
Major problem among men is they don't know when to shut up.
I can't figure it out. Is it the single mother's generation? Is that our problem?
I think so. I think the men are like little girls. I think that's what they've grown up around.
I was thinking about some of the stuff you said in the past about, you know, the guy to be this brooding, what was it, the, you know, the kind of distant, aloof, you know, and what's crazy is that women actually really like it. Aside from saving yourself a lot of criminal trouble, you know, when you yak too much, women get, you know, confused. They think that you're one of their girlfriends. But if you're really silent, they have this imagination that, oh, he's thinking all these things, and he's thinking about me, and he's got this whole fantasy that they build up, and they start putting all kinds of projections onto it. It's a lot better to play it that way than to sit there and talk and talk and, you know, be recognized as being stupid. I think it was better to be silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt.
Well, that's certainly true. So here's the deal. I think a lot of people are afraid to assert their rights. They think that by cowering, or they think that by being more polite and being cooperative, that they're more likely to get off the hook or get out of trouble. So that's I think it's human nature.
Well, that's definitely another thing in terms of, like you say, cooperating is somehow going to get you points or something. So you're sort of talking to this cop, and, you know, cops are taught to have this what they call police presence, which means that they're supposed to be in control and they're supposed to be intimidating. But on the other hand, they try to humanize themselves a bit. And on some level, it's sort of like, you know, you're negotiating, and they will say things to you like, you know, if you cooperate, this is going to go down a lot easier for you, and this is going to be better for you. And people think, okay, so, you know, if I make the cop my friend, if I act nice, if I do what he wants, and so forth. You have to remember, and this is something we talked about a lot on the show here, you know, that something like 99% or more of cases are settled and are not taken to trial. People imagine, you know, this big dramatic trial with a jury, and that's actually very unusual. That's really the exception. Most cases are not taken to trial. And so think about what's going to end up happening. You're going to hire me or someone like me, and I'm going to try to negotiate the best possible outcome for you. And the more shit you've done to spill the beans and to explain it and to, you know, the cop recognized different aspects of, for example, in this case, a DUI thing, which is the breath and the watery eyes and the slurred speech and all this, the more that you push those issues, the more you've really hurt your own case. You know, if you're the brooding type and you just kind of say, look, I don't want to talk about it, leave me alone, that changes the whole thing when later on I'm negotiating a deal and they say, well, what did the guy say? What did your guy say? What did he do? And the answer is nothing. Didn't give away a word. You know, it's a lot stronger. When you think about a lot of the cases I do with domestic violence, which relates, of course, to criminal law and family law, but especially in this case, criminal law, you know, broadly speaking, the cops come to your door and knock on the door, and, you know, then they say, well, what's going on here, you know? And your average dumb guy starts saying, well, you know, she hit me first, and then I hit her back, you know? And they don't recognize that by saying that, you've confessed. You're literally telling the cops what you did, and you're basically, again, confessing to the crime. You know, it's much better off to say, look, everything's fine, nothing's going on, and I really don't, you know, I don't want to talk. That's always going to be a lot stronger. You know, there's this kind of thing that's, you know, you see in some of the movies where the guy or the woman even, like, is so smart and so clever that she outsmarts the cops, you know? That was kind of that scene with Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct where they question her or whatever, and she's supposed to be this very rich woman. I mean, in real life, she would have had a lawyer, and that would have been it. But, you know, she flashes her crotch to them, and she's so smart and clever that, you know, she just blows their minds, and she basically wins, quote-unquote, wins the interview. And that's not reality at all. I mean, that's really not reality. You know, the truth of the matter is that they have every advantage to see what they want to see. And that is why, you know, you're never going to get it straight. I've had a few people recently that got pulled over that, you know, were, you know, absolutely sober. And this is like what happened to Senate, by the way. And, you know, the cop says, you know, he seemed uneasy. He was, you know, speech was funny. He stuttered, slur, whatever. I think he was drunk. And that's probable cause all of a sudden. Next thing you know, the cop's searching your car and giving you the breath test and everything else. And they're very inclined to it. I had this case recently where the guy was in an accident. And, you know, they immediately gear towards drinking and driving. That's their emphasis. And as Tom and I have talked about many times, there's so much money in it for the counties in terms of getting the convictions and the fines and then the classes and these consciousness-raising things and all the things that they make you do, that they are, you know, needing to fill those chairs, so to speak. So they are very inclined to want to get convictions on these things, and they're very geared towards thinking, you know, when they pull someone over, okay, good, good, maybe this is a drunk driving arrest. And it doesn't necessarily matter if it is or not. They're going to make it be one. And that certainly changes the calculation and so forth. You saw that at some of our listener parties, and we have a listener party coming up soon, that the cops waited outside, and they expected to pull people over for drunk driving. And that is definitely part of their emphasis and their way of thinking and so forth. And, you know, again, this is crazy stuff. We're dealing with a different generation of guys now. You know, I just talked to a guy on the phone, and this isn't exactly criminal law, but this guy today, he married, you love this, Tom, he married a single mother who had 5 kids, Tom.
Oh, boy.
From 3 different fathers.
Oh, Jesus.
And one was in jail, and one was a deadbeat, and one actually paid support. So that was fabulous. And anyway, so that marriage, and he had some kids and whatever, the marriage lasted about 1.5 years, and now he's thinking about suicide, you know.
I'll bet.
And he tells me he was this long-term listener, and he's a big supporter, and he loves the show, and he knows all our stuff, especially your stuff. And I said, well, that's great. So what, you know, what happened? And he's just like, I don't know. I can't explain it. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't listening. I mean, somehow, a lot of times, a lot of these things that people think and believe, or they think they believe, and they take with us, or we taught them, or whatever, it doesn't necessarily filter into their regular life. And they somehow think, and this is really true when it comes to relationships, something in relationships in general, you have to sort of convince yourself and tell yourself that, you know, the regular rules don't apply, and this is not going to be something that impacts on me and Jennifer, because me and Jennifer are different. And things for us are special.
Right. Let me ask you about the phrase, probable cause.
I want to ask you. I love probable cause.
Oh, well, cops love it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And here's my question for you. You know, I don't know whatever happened to probable cause because, you know, we've
got weakened.
Well, we've got checkpoints and all this other stuff going on and, you know, racial profiling and blah, blah, blah. But here's one that always seemed obvious to me. If your car is parked at a bar,
well,
and you come out of the bar and get into the car, wouldn't the cop have probable cause? Why would he even need to pull you over?
Yeah. You and I had this conversation in the past.
I know, but I like to talk about this because a lot of people say, well, the cop can't pull you over unless he's got probable cause. But wait a minute.
Yeah, come on.
If my car is driving out of Acapulco at 12:30 a.m. or El Torito, or my car is pulling out of Barney's Beanery at 1 a.m., isn't it likely I'm bombed?
Jeez. Well, you know, the cruelty of it, right? And this is something that what I was saying before, you and I kidded around about. You know, when you look at the reality, particularly of a city like L.A., you got to think about, you know, Tom, like, you know, where we grew up in, like, New York City, right, where there's bars all over and you can walk to it, or it's down from your apartment house, you take a taxi. And we have something new now, obviously, Uber or whatever. But, you know, when you talk about car culture, why does a bar have a parking lot in the first place? Okay.
Well, the thing is, they can't be within a certain number of feet right of a school.
Right.
There are all kinds of restrictions when they allow a bar to go into business. And yet, when a bar has a parking lot, somehow that doesn't prevent them from getting a license. And I don't understand that. If you really don't want people to drive, why don't you tell bars they can't have parking lots? And you see, this is why a cynical, skeptical person like myself believes they don't want to really prevent drunk driving. They want to generate revenue. Just like they don't want you to stop at the intersection. They put a camera in knowing you're going to slide through there, and then they're going to get you. They don't care if there's more rear-end collisions now than ever. People are dying at these intersections with cameras than more than ever before. They don't care because revenue will be generated. They don't have to have a cop or a car or anybody stationed there. The only expense is, well, there is no expense. The camera company puts the camera up there for free, and they split the revenue somehow.
Right.
So they don't really care about your safety. They don't really care about what's right and wrong. I don't even know how any of those tickets ever were, why everyone ever paid those tickets, or why those tickets were ever accepted in a court, being that no human being saw you do it. And isn't there something to the law where, you know, like a human being has to see you do it, has to be a witness?
Well, theoretically, of course, you testifying against the camera isn't very fair. When you talk about probable cause, I mean, the idea generally was that you were a private citizen, right, and you were minding your own business, and just the fact that you were driving didn't mean that the cops had the right to go through your life, pull you over, look through your trunk, look in your glove compartment. But you see how that was eroded away. You know, we had these well-meaning people like Mothers Against Drunk Driving or whatever, and they're saying, look, we have to protect the children.
Which was founded by a drunk driver, if I recall correctly.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you always get into those situations where you're going to this class or whatever it is, and the person who's teaching the class is an addict, you know, and he's teaching you not to be an addict, or he's teaching you about watching out for addiction and so forth. Of course that's the case.
Alcoholics teach all those alcohol education plans.
Of course.
All the alcohol education programs sanctioned by states like California. And by all reports, thank goodness I've never had to attend one, but I've known many who have.
Well, who else is it going to be? You know?
You go in there and they give you, the lesson plan will be something like this. You know, if you've been driving in the right lane, and you didn't have your windows rolled all the way up, you could have gotten away with this. Like, they're telling you how to get away with drunk driving the next time.
It's not quite what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, but they do.
But if you remember a few years ago, one of the big shifts in California was that they put this thing that you're not allowed to talk on your cell phone. And at that time, cell phones weren't like what we have now. There were flips or whatever, and people were flipping them and holding them and blocking their vision or whatever, getting distracted and driving. And this is basically giving the police, you know, quote-unquote, yet another reason to pull people over. So it's like you're living your own life, and the cops can now pull you over. Oh, I think I smell something. I want to look in your glove compartment. You know, if you tell the cop no, then right away you're at the top of the list.
By the way, did that law evolve, or are cops just broadening enforcement? You know, my recollection was that two things. It became illegal to be holding a phone in your hand and talking on it, but you could talk using Bluetooth, you could talk into a speakerphone, and it was illegal to text while driving.
Right. Okay. Still is, right?
Well, yeah, but it's more than that. Now if they see you looking at the phone, they pull you over. Now,
yeah, that's really unfair. I know.
You know, my phone is also sometimes my GPS device.
Yeah, of course.
And so I'm looking at a map. I'm not sending messages. I'm not talking to anyone. But I have actually been pulled over after looking at my phone.
They will bag you for that, too.
But is that illegal?
Well, the thing I had thought, and I had this conversation with cops, I had thought that it was holding the phone to your face or whatever,
right,
and speaking on the phone. But no, they consider it distracted. If you're holding it, if you're looking at it, if you know, if you're just checking the time or whatever,
right,
certainly looking at maps or whatever, and that wasn't the intention of the law, but that is covered. So basically, you know, you see how when people go into these things and they say, we're doing this for public safety, we're doing this because we care so much about the world, the truth is that that's not the case.
Well, there's all kinds of distracted driving that goes unenforced. Somebody drives through
eating.
Like how many, somebody buys a $6, 11-inch footlong over there at Subway. And I literally have seen people trying to maneuver. You know, like an entire sandwich into their mouth while they're driving the car. I don't see anyone pulling those people over.
Well, think about when they, you know, are sort of driving when there's a drive-through, right? So that's like the parking lot behind a bar. We're sort of encouraging people to do it, aren't we?
Right. So, I'm amazed at what kind of distracted driving there is. How about people who are turned around 180 degrees saying, hey, you kids, if you don't cut that out, I'm coming back there. Isn't that distracted driving? I'd say that's a lot more dangerous than me speaking a text message into my phone, say, be there in 15. I think that's a lot less dangerous than turning around, not even looking at the road.
Well, I also think that there's what they call an emphasis. I think when they originally did the cell phone law about talking on the cell phone when you're driving, I think that it was definitely being enforced, and they were pulling people over and giving them tickets and whatnot. And today I see a lot less of it. So I think the cops were told by their chiefs or their departments or whatever, fuck that law, don't worry about it, don't push it, you know? In the same way that, you know, marijuana technically is illegal on the federal level, but you see how the Justice Department said, you know, don't enforce that law. And don't worry about it. Don't push it. We don't have an emphasis on it.
How about your business? I mean, are you defending marijuana smokers? Are you getting a lot of that business? You are.
Yeah.
So people are still getting arrested.
You know, it's a heartbreak. They call me and they don't have a marijuana card. They get arrested. It's like, why don't you have a marijuana card? Oh, I'm lazy, you know?
I'm lazy.
I mean, the fact that you could get one, you know, California, you know, is not like Washington State or Colorado where it's just legal, period, you know?
Do you know why I didn't get a card?
I can't. I'm afraid to hear.
I'm going
to
tell you the reason.
I want to hear the Tom Likas logic here.
When I was doing the show, I'm a public figure. I was doing a radio show. It seems great when you get the card, but you never know when the new governor is going to be Adolf Hitler. And he's
going to be on
your
the list.
Name and your address is going to be on that list. And so, you know, just because you have a governor today who is cool with it, or is it, doesn't mean the next guy is going to come in and start. Like, the same thing happens with the FCC, you know. The FCC enforces the law politically.
Right.
So you suddenly see them cracking down. When there's a Republican in office, you'll notice that in the Obama years, nobody has been busted for obscenity or decency. And there have been a number of fleeting offensive words uttered on radio and TV. Nobody's been fined. Nobody's been penalized. No one has been threatened with the loss of a license. Nobody. Now, later on, when there is a Republican president who's trying to burnish his conservative credentials, suddenly you're going to find out there's a backlog of 10,000 indecency complaints at the FCC. And they're going all the way back to 2007, and they're going to start enforcing it again.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, there's a lot of people out there who... It's never really gone. It's never gone. You think it's gone because you're saying, well, they haven't enforced this law in a long time. When I got fined in 1990, well, actually the radio station got fined for things I did and said on KFI radio.
Right.
They had not enforced those laws in years. We saw the rise of Steve Dahl in Chicago and Howard Stern in New York. All these things were happening during the deregulation of broadcasting, and the FCC wasn't saying boo. Okay, so you think you're getting away with this shit, and then one day the new president is George Herbert Walker Bush, and he decides that, you know, unlike Reagan, he didn't look conservative enough.
Right.
So suddenly the FCC starts cracking down. Well, we're going into the files, going back on some of those complaints that go back years, and suddenly you see them busting one head after another.
Wow.
So with the marijuana card, I don't have a marijuana card because I didn't want a future governor who comes in like a stormtrooper and says, you know what, pot smoking is wrong, it's bad for kids.
Well, I want the list of all the people.
Give me the list of all the people so you can all bust all.
Oh, my God.
So now that we have had a...
That's a lot of people, though, Tom. That would be rattling some serious cages, I think.
Well, and now that we've voted on this several times, now I feel comfortable getting a card. But for a long time, I was convinced that one day your name and address was going directly to the chief of police. It was just, that's where it was going. Anytime you chose to take that out and flash that card, you were done.
But it is hard to understand. I mean, there were some television shows in particular. I was thinking less on radio. I mean, I remember the fines and so forth. But I remember there were TV shows like NYPD Blue and some of the other ones that were showing a little, like, nudity, or they were, like, you know, using the F word once or twice.
Right.
Just sort of pushing the envelope.
Well, they were showing the ass of Dennis Franz, which should have been illegal to begin with.
Well, there you go. But the point is that somehow that slid, right? The FCC let that go.
So did Dennis Franz's ass.
Oh, all right. I didn't think about it that way. But, I mean, you have to look at the way that the thing evolves and how they think and how they're connecting to it. And obviously that's something that's going to change over time. But if they're able to dig back into the past, then I guess anything's possible. You know, when you look at the way the country swings, and it's right in a way what you're saying, we have a conservative president, then we have a liberal president, and we sort of lose our mind, you know, both ways. And maybe the one who's liberal is not so much of a middle one, like in terms of left-wing, Obama seems to be pretty extremely left, right? And then when we have a right-wing president, he's, you know, crazy right-wing. So we sort of go that way also.
Right.
If you remember, Reagan and so forth had, what, the Meese Commission? They're cracking down on porn and
right.
all the media and so forth. What did you do in KFI that was so bad?
Look it up. It's in the annals. By the way, broadcasting companies, when they have their manuals on what the broadcasters can and can't say.
Tom Likas example.
The three examples. Three fines around the year 1989. Those three fines are they're burnished in the annals of broadcasting history. You can't miss them. The time a woman told me that she liked to masturbate her dogs. And I asked her, do the dogs like it? Do they make a noise? Do the noise for me. There's a tape of that somewhere. We should play it.
Oh, God.
And then there was another one where, in fact, I just talked to the radio personality from Chicago, now in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Kevin Matthews. I just appeared on his podcast. And what Kevin didn't know was I once got fined for doing a bit that I heard on his show. And I didn't steal the bit. I credited him. I was in Chicago.
Oh, that's very decent of you.
Well, because that's what I do. I was in Chicago, and I heard Kevin doing a funny bit. And the question was this. What's the most disgusting thing you ever put in your mouth? Now, when I heard Kevin Matthews do that bit, I didn't even have my usual dirty mind because I heard the bit play out on the Kevin Matthews show. So he's taking calls. One person said, when I was a kid, I took a piece of gum off the floor and I put it in my mouth. Or another person said, I put a bug in my mouth. Or another, so I, you know, when anytime you do a talk show, I don't know if you know that we actually think. Those of us who know how to do it, as opposed to some who are on the air who don't know how to do it, we think 10 steps ahead. We try to think, are there only one or two answers to this question? Is there going to be some variety? What are some of the answers we might get?
Well, that mouth one is pretty wide open.
But the point is, when I heard the show, everybody who called in said something, I put my hair in my mouth, I found a mustachio nut in a garbage can, and I cracked it open and ate it, you know. So when I heard that, I'm thinking to myself, this would be a good bit. So I came on KFI, and I said, you know, I was just in Chicago, and I heard Kevin Matthews, and I love Kevin's show. I love him, and I heard a bit, and I want to give him full credit for it, because it was that good, okay? So I'm going to ask a question, and you call up and answer it. And here's the question. What's the most disgusting thing you ever put in your mouth? And so people start calling in, and one is saying, I put a bug in my mouth. Another one is saying, I put a piece of gum off the floor, put it in my mouth. Another guy calls in and says, smegma.
Oh, nice.
And unfortunately, so did the FCC at a dictionary. Because there's only one delivery system for smegma.
Oh, God.
and they kind of put two and two together. So that was another thing I got fined for. The other was I had a guest on the show, the guest of the who was the founder of a group called the Hung Jury.
Let's see.
And in order to be a member, you had to have 8 inches or more. Then he named some of these celebrities who could be Hung Jury members if only they would apply. Milton Berle, he started giving a list. Milton Berle, 14 inches. I don't know how he got the numbers, but
yeah,
he didn't care.
Where did you get the info from?
Really? Milton Berle, 14 inches. Milton Berle doesn't make me think of sex, you know, but okay, 14 inches. We got fined for that, too. The Hung Jury.
But not too bad, $6,000.
Back then, it was $2,000 an offense. Now it's $50,000.
Yeah, perfect. That seems like real money.
Yeah. So the radio station hires you, and they say to you, go ahead, be outrageous. We want you to be outrageous. We're going to run ads. We're going to run billboards. Tom Likas, outrageous. So then when you are outrageous, they go, we didn't tell you to do that. You said to be outrageous. No, but we didn't.
You went too far there, Tom.
You didn't tell me that. You said be outrageous. You didn't say, don't mention smegma. Or if a woman calls up and says she likes to masturbate her dog, don't debrief her about what that was like. You know, wouldn't you like to know what that noise was like? The woman masturbating the dog? It was kind of a gurgling sound. Yeah. I wanted to hear the sound.
Oh, my God.
All right, we got fined by the FCC. That's what happened. That's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So, we were doing shit 25 years ago.
I see that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right, we're going to take a break. We got callers who want to talk to you.
I'm astonished.
Oh, we got a few. And we have one caller from San Diego who has a medical marijuana card, wants to know if you can have a medical marijuana card and a firearm. We'll talk about that.
You're going to give everyone a stroke now. They're afraid they're on a list.
Well, that's what I thought. Then we have a caller from Glendale, Arizona, who wants to know what happens to the parking ticket when you rent a car. Like, you get parked the car any old place, the meter is run out, just buy out to rental. And then we have a listener in Berkeley, of all places, he wants to know if he can smoke pot in public. Yes. I'm going to talk to all of you and more, and here's the phone number to talk to Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. You can dial us right now at 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
I'm doing a live spot here, and I don't know which one. Next issue. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you, Mikey. How do you know this is a live spot? Because you're hearing Mikey tell me live what spot to do. And I didn't know what spot to do there. So there you go. Next issue. I'm happy to talk about next issue because if you like to read like I do, next issue is a game-changing app for you. What is it? It's one app with all of the world's most popular magazines in one convenient app for one low price. I'll tell you the price in a second. It's unlimited access. That includes the back issues, the digital extras, the videos, the bonus photos, the interactive features, the web links, and the ability to read today's top stories instantly. And it's all the magazine titles you love. Rolling Stone, Sports Illustrated, Maxim, Men's Health, GQ, Esquire, Motor Trend. Is the live spot. That's right. Absolutely. It's convenient. You get all your favorite magazines anytime, anywhere. Instant access at an incredible value. How much is it? Less than the cost of two magazines. That's right. For less than the cost of two magazines at the newsstand, you can have all your favorites and more. It's like buying the entire newsstand for the price of two magazines. Now, don't take my word for it. Try it before you buy it. Tom Likas listeners get a 30-day free trial. And by the way, when you're trying it out, it's an app that's available on the most popular devices. Got an iPad? Next issue is there. iPhone? Next issue. Android tablet? There's next issue there, too. Smartphones? It's all there, and you can even share your account with someone you moderately like. Now, here's what I want you to do right now. It's free for 30 days. Go to nextissue.com/Tom and sign up today. Get that first month free. Then get 50% off Next Issue's most popular premium plan for the next 2 months. It's a great deal. But it's only available in the United States, by the way, folks. And you have to go to nextissue.com/Tom and sign up today. You got that? Nextissue.com/Tom.
Were you with Dr. Skanky Poon? He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Tumor, faster, harder.
We are very excited about welcoming our friends at Triangle Billiards. Hey, this is a store for you, boys. Triangle Billiards has been serving satisfied customers since 1978 with the best selection of products by the best in the business. Now we're talking the good stuff, boys. This is all the fun stuff. Pool tables, air hockey, shuffleboard, foosball, darts, custom cues, and much more. Check out their two convenient locations with friendly, experienced salespeople to serve you in both Orange and Costa Mesa. And, of course, you can visit them online at TriangleBilliards.com. That's TriangleBilliards.com. Now, for a limited time, use promo code TOM at checkout or when you place your order by phone and get a free McDermott custom two-piece cue, a $255 value when you purchase a new pool table. Act soon, and they'll throw in a free cue case worth $70. This is an amazing deal. Remember to drop my name to get those freebies at Triangle Billiards. Call them or visit today. The number is 866-941-2564. Or go to TriangleBilliards.com. Shipping is available worldwide. So call them today, 866-941-2564, or go to TriangleBilliards.com. Listen, boys, start having real fun now.
Have a time.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we are here in a bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, sitting right here right now. And your phone calls at 901-3000-TOM, 901-3000-TOM, 901-3000-866. Let me ask Dean J. D'Amelio something that's totally off topic, but I have to ask Dean. A lot of people saw my leg of lamb online last night.
That was a great leg of lamb.
Did you taste that? Tell everybody.
You're lucky I didn't take the whole thing. I was very tempted to take more than one piece.
Yeah. I just brought in a few slices, and I told Dean, I had Dean heating them up in the microwave for me, so I said, yeah, just take a couple of slices. Tell me what you think.
Don't forget, the key, too, is you added the rosemary picked by you, for Christ's sake.
Rosemary picked right outside my back door.
Right,
when I take those sunset pictures, it's right below the sunset.
That's probably not the only rosemary you ever picked.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Well, with your own rosemary, that's special.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah.
I'm looking at all the fines here, Tom. Unbelievable.
The FCC fines?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, yeah, and it's preposterous.
There's fines that are like, you know, hundreds of thousands or even $1 million.
Well, the people paid a lot less playing the song Erotic City. There's the word fuck in it like 20 times.
Oh, God.
The only station played the song Erotic City by Prince.
Unbelievable.
It has the word fuck in it. And their defense was that the lyric sheet for the song said that the word was funk.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
But, come on, it was clearly fuck.
But who are we saving here? Who are we protecting?
You're protecting Republicans who are going to be told they're not conservative enough. That's who you're protecting.
But, like, for example, Janet Jackson's boob was $550,000.
Right.
I mean, for a second. A second. You got to be kidding me.
That's right.
$500,000 for that?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
All right, calls here, 901-3000-TOM. Here's Charles in San Diego for Adam Sachs. Hello.
Tom, pleasure. Thank you. Hey, what's up, Adam?
Hey, Charles, what's going on?
For the record, I do not have a medical marijuana card. This is something that's always piqued my interest, though.
No, but listen to what Tom's saying. He's afraid that if he had a marijuana card, that somehow that would, you know, put him on a list. we're going to get a conservative governor and he's going to get arrested.
Didn't they do that, by the way, with High Times magazine, either the subscriber list or the list of advertisers in High Times? That kind of put High Times, if it didn't put it out of business, it crippled it or hobbled it at one point.
We do things like this in America.
The FBI just steps up and says, hey, who's on your list? You'd love to see that list.
Wow.
Well, I'm not so worried about that so much as I am just breaking the law with, you know, who can own a firearm, and if you're using marijuana for medical reasons, is that breaking the law? And if you use medical marijuana, does that waive your rights to own a firearm?
No, of course not. You know, generally speaking, the right to have a gun and so forth is the Second Amendment of the Constitution, and the exception is for people that are convicted of, like, crimes and felonies and so forth. And so if you're a good citizen and you haven't been convicted of anything, you know, I don't know if it's a great idea to be, you know, smoking marijuana and using a gun. That's probably dangerous in some
probably
way.
Probably harm your aim.
I mean, you know, you don't want to be, you know, doing anything that hurts yourself or hurts other people, of course. But just broadly speaking, you know, marijuana is in a very kind of strange transition now, where it's legal in a few states, and then you have states like California where you have to have a prescription or whatever. But it's not this, you know, killer weed that it was. You do see people going to jail for it. And I have marijuana cases, if you can believe it, because people didn't have cards or they were driving on marijuana or whatever. But, you know, the loss of your right to have a gun is related to being a criminal, and you're not a criminal. So I don't think you have a problem at all. I just don't see the connection.
Okay. Well, I'm not a medical marijuana guy, but I am a gun owner, so...
If you're using marijuana, whatever, I don't know why, recreationally or because you have some kind of, you know, back problem or whatever. I mean, you know, if you do it, you should get the card. I have too many people call me that they got arrested and they don't have a card, and it's like, you got to be kidding. You know, that's stupid. Get the damn card. Make yourself legal, and then, you know, you have a gun or whatever. I think that Tom's concern, you know, it's interesting, but I think he's exaggerated it, and he is obviously a much more high profile person, being you know, a celebrity and so forth. Sure. But I don't think that the average person has to really be afraid that they're going to dig up the names.
But
and,
I think,
you know,
I also said that now, after we've had some referendums on the subject here in California, now we've seen how it's played out over time.
Right.
Now I am going to get a car.
You will?
Yeah. Now I will.
Okay.
But the reason I'm
going to take you kicking and screaming.
The reason you don't even take me kicking and screaming, I'll gladly go. The thing is, it was years ago when people first started getting cards.
Right.
And by the way, when people first started getting cards, it was like a joke. I would have a party, and 80% of the people there would have a card. Everybody had pot, which they're not supposed to be sharing, because you're supposed to be using
right.
it for your glaucoma.
Only
or
for yourself.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And here they are. One guy, somebody who we all know, one guy said to me at the party, he said, my dispensary has like a frequent flyer card. It's like a Subway sub card. Like, if I buy a certain amount, I get some free. So can I get you some, and then I'll get my card stamped?
What a guy.
Now, like, you know, you're not supposed to be doing that. Don't you have glaucoma? What are you doing with pot?
Well, if you think about it, you know, when you go to the pharmacy and they, you know, give you a prescription for Valium or Xanax or whatever it is, you get exactly 20 pills or 30 pills, right? And the refill is very specific, or there's no refill, there's only one refill. And when it comes to marijuana, you're self-medicating. You're buying the quantity you want. I don't think there are generally limits. They'll let you buy a lot. And if you want to smoke a lot, they'll let you do that too. You're not supposed to share with anybody else, though. So I guess that's
right.
Crossing the
line.
But
I wouldn't
how
do
hard
that,
is that? No, but how hard is that?
I wouldn't share it with anyone.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're going to follow the rules.
It's all for me.
Okay. It's good to hear that.
Every bit of it.
I'm pleased to hear it. But I promise, Tom, I won't let them put you away.
Thank you.
Cover those bases, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Tom, blow me up.
I'll blow you up, baby. Here you go. Yeah, I'm feeling stress.
You got backache. I know what it is.
Yes, doctor.
You got to give him something very kind of non-specific, you know? I'm having sleeping problems. I'm a little nervous.
Stress.
Yeah.
Feeling stress?
My neck hurts.
Well, your neck hurts. You might have to prove why it hurts.
Well, it's a little stiff, you know?
Who's going to... You can't ever... I can't prove I'm stressed. You have to take my word for it. Mm-hmm. Or that I can't sleep. What are they going to do, come over and watch?
I I think it's a very low standard, I really must say.
Yes.
I think you'd be surprised how relatively easy it is.
Well, when, like behind the Wendy's on Sunset Boulevard, on the second floor, and you know the second floor of those strip malls, those stores always go under, always. And here is a big green neon sign that's lit up late at night. It says, Doctor.
Oh, good.
I think that's where I'm going in.
Excellent.
Right behind Wendy's. And what a perfect place for Wendy's. And El Pollo Loco. Dean, have you ever been to that corner, Sunset La Brea?
Of course.
Yeah, there's, you got the doctor right there.
We got to step that up.
You know, you go, you get your prescription filled, and then you go over to Wendy's and do like 10 Frosties.
Oh, delicious. I got to get a card the worst way. I've just been
absolutely
putting it off.
Dino,
I'll go,
what are you
it.
Waiting for?
Why don't we go together? Why don't we go together?
We already agreed to this.
We can make a video.
Let's do it.
But I even post it? I gave Tom the doctor on the way to the ranch. I was sure he was going to go there. It was like no sweat.
It'll be pretty funny to see Tom and I strolling in with the cards in hand. I'm definitely into edibles, man. I need them for my back. So
you guys will never do it.
How about
it'll never happen?
How about an AM crunch wrap with some pot in it?
Dude, stop it.
You're killing me, stop it. Don't tease me.
I can't take it. Now I know where I have to go on my way home.
By the way, man. That particular strip mall at Sunset La Brea, you've got the first El Pollo Loco I ever went to, which is still in operation there. And you've got Wendy's. And what's better than that? There used to be a Penguin's frozen yogurt, too, like one of the last remaining ones from that chain back like 20 years ago. They had that, too.
Well, I would crush that yogurt right now.
There you go. Let's go to Robert in Glendale, Arizona. Robert, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Robert. What's going on?
Not much. Hey, I got a question for you, Adam.
Sure.
What happens when you are driving a rental car, you go to a different state, and you see a car parking over there? Let's say that is your car that you're renting, and you grab the ticket, and you shred it, and you think that you never saw it. Where is the proof?
What happened?
That you got a parking ticket.
Well, don't forget, I mean, it's all computerized nowadays, right?
So, no, let's say 10 years ago.
10 years ago?
What are we, going in a hot tub time machine here? I mean,
no hot tub time machine.
10 years ago is
so,
gone.
I don't just throw that everything is computerized. How
did you,
about,
wait a minute, did you, Robert, did you do this 10 years ago? Did you rent a car and then tear up a parking ticket? Is that what's happening?
I think I understand what's going on. All right, be strong, Robert.
Why are you asking a question like that?
No, it's just that a friend of mine told me that he saw a parking ticket on a rental car, and he grabbed that and shred it, and he just left.
All right, well, that person probably eventually got a notice that the parking ticket was delinquent.
Right.
And it'd be up to that person to use his attorney or try himself in vain to explain to the judge that he never saw the ticket, which, of course, nobody would ever believe. Nope. Now, when you rent the car, you are responsible for damage. You ever read that 10 pounds of yellow paper you sign when you go to to rent the car? It says right in there. I just read that for entertainment when I'm in hotel rooms. And it says right in there, if there's damage, a hit-and-run accident, if you cause an accident, if you leave burn marks on the seat in the car with your cigarette, if you smoke in the car and it's non-smoking, if you get a speeding ticket, all of that stuff, you are responsible.
They're not going to forget.
Yeah, I thought that maybe that person will never get anything because it would go straight up to the rental car and the rental car will...
The rental car is going to, they're going to throw you right under the rental bus. That's what they're going to do. If the police or a jurisdiction comes to Hertz and says, we put a parking ticket on one of your cars and we want to know when we can expect payment, the first thing Hertz or Avis or any of them is going to say is, yeah, that was a John Smith in the Glendale, Arizona. He had the car at the time, officer. Here's his driver's license. That's what they're going to do.
They're going to be very helpful.
That's right. They're never going to pay that ticket. The renter
is. That individual will get a notice, right?
Well, most likely.
But if he never gets it.
Wait a second. Hold on. Hold your horses here. I think most likely Tom Hertz is going to pay. Because it's their car and they don't need aggravation.
That's not what the contract says.
Well, they're going to expect you to indemnify them. So they're going to come after you for it. Don't worry. They won't forget.
Hertz will come after the renter.
Yes.
But not the city. The city will go after the rental car.
Well, they don't know who you are. They're going to go after the car. But the bottom line is that you're the one responsible. And, you know, you can't just expect other people to get stiffed. They're going to come back.
Right.
They're going to look for you.
No, absolutely. I just thought that
stupid.
This was like a catch 22 question where you have like a third party in between and you never know who is that, who is going to be blamed.
I just think with the computerization, state to state, and these national databases, it's more and more difficult to get away with anything.
You know, the reason why I throw that at you is because Tone referred recently the Airbnb. So when
yeah, that's crazy altogether, right? The Airbnb of people that wouldn't move out, right?
Well, no, here's what I suggested on Ligus 101 the other day.
Are you thinking about screwing a girl and bringing
I want to tell Adam because he may not know about
it. No,
this,
I was listening, baby.
I was very specific. I said, do not commit any illegal acts in an Airbnb room. But if you're afraid that a chick is going to stalk you, rent an Airbnb room and say, why don't you come on over? She comes over and you're in an apartment or a house.
This is my place.
Hey, come on in. Hey, put your feet
it's
up.
It's actually a hell of an idea. And actually, if you own a free and clear property, I believe that going through Airbnb, you actually can make more money and less hassle than renting directly.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility if the chick stalks you, like comes over and breaks a window or something, that the next renter is going to pay for that. The person who was renting the room when the chick broke the window.
This crazy chick banging on the door.
It's the perfect crime. I've used Airbnb, and now I'm thinking this is the perfect way to, if you've got a chick who's like crazy in the head, crazy in the bed, all right, so you go for it for a night at your Airbnb room, and then you just cut her off at the knees, you put her on ice, you don't call her anymore, and then what happens? Yeah, she comes over to knock you, where
Airbnb.
Are you? I know you're in there. you're not in there. You're at your real home somewhere.
Yeah, but renter number two comes to the door, and he's like, who the fuck are you?
Right?
But don't lie. No, Freddy's here.
That's their problem. That's not our problem.
Nice. Paying it forward there,
Tom. I was wondering about, you know, where the damage is going to be blamed and passed through when it comes to Airbnb. Because if you have a house and you rent it, and the person breaks something or gets, like a damage directly that the homeowner association deem you for, who is going to be paying for that?
Well, by the way, they tell you in the agreement with Airbnb, and I used Airbnb, and they tell you that if you break something and the owner of the house reports that it's missing or broken, they've got your credit card number and they're going to charge you for it.
So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was thinking about, like, valuables and stuff.
Freddie,
you're in someone's house.
Freddie
Wilhite style. Here you go, Robert.
I shot my wife in the stomach.
I shot my wife in the stomach with 38.
Why did you do this?
She enticed me, and she ridiculed me throughout my lifetime.
I'm going to go see if
she's
alive.
She's alive.
I think she's dead.
I think she's dead.
All right, there you go. The thing is that people don't understand. It's not just the parking tickets are computerized. Credit cards are computerized.
Look at your credit card.
Right. I mean,
you're going to get dinged, baby.
They get you.
They're not going to forget.
By the way, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Is another evil idea here?
Not evil idea. It's something I'm already doing. Let me tell you something, folks. In order to keep troublemakers from coming to our events, I don't sell cash tickets. Every ticket is sold on a credit card.
Oh, dear.
I know your name. I know your address. I have all the information on you. And if you come in and start breaking beer bottles over people's heads and start threatening people, I know who you are. And I will give your name and address to the authorities. I'll let you know. Now, you notice, Adam.
You're not covering for anybody, huh?
No. You notice at our events, it's a very well-behaved crowd.
Yeah, I've always been impressed.
Because we know who everybody is. Everybody. So nobody's going to be out of control because we know who you are.
Love it.
That's the deal.
Way ahead of the game, man.
All right, let's take a break here. We're going to come back. We got another call or two here, and Adam will tell you how to get in touch with him, because here's the free legal advice. But later, if you need Adam in a more elongated form, and you don't mind if I use the word elongated and Adam Sachs in the same sentence, that's all you would have to do is give Adam a call. We'll tell you how to do that coming up.
So, how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and could tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
On this episode of Swamp Stupid, Dino loses a precious limb after zipping his cock up in his overalls. Retard attempts to remove it with a hunting knife, and shit gets crazy. They ain't just stupid, they're Swamp Stupid. Go to GaryandDino.com.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Cover time.
Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. All right, if you've been arrested, if you're in some kind of trouble, well, Adam Sachs can help you get out of a jam. My God, he's helped me. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
You can give me a call, toll free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, which is www.adamlawyer.com, and you can email me. I love email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, we continue with Adam Sachs, 901-3000-TOM, free legal advice for you. It's Bill in Los Angeles. Bill, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello. All right, that's the second time that's happened today. Charles in Berkeley. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, yes. Charles.
How you doing, man?
Doing okay. What can we do for you?
Hey, I wanted to talk to Adam. Adam, you know, I was at the Chinese New Year festival parade this Saturday. And I was smoking a blunt just right there. You know, the police officers were walking by.
What do you think? This is Amsterdam, man. What's going on?
Said, no, no, no. So I said, sure thing, officer. And So anyway, is that legal in the state of California to do that?
Probably not.
Probably not.
There's certain issues of, you know, like the public use and so forth. You got to remember that so much of what happens in criminal law is discretionary. And I have to admit, I use my cell phone sometimes when I'm driving, and I do what Tom does. I look at the map, or I look at the time. And I have noticed sometimes that I had, you know, without realizing it, I had a cop trailing behind me or next to me on a motorcycle, and they'll see me do it and they'll let it slide. And so, I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of circumstances.
I'm very good at getting cops to let things slide on me.
Like I said,
65 in a 50, cop pulls me over. And it's like, you know, he just tells me to slow down, and he keeps going.
Yeah, you know, also that's true. 65 and a 50, like you say, and then they pull you over, and your demeanor is very important. If you say, I'm really sorry, I wasn't paying attention, I apologize, officer.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, officer, for speeding through your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I apologize, right?
There's definitely something to that. You know, there's a whole concern about that because, you know, they say the cops are, some of them are racists. So, for example,
I've done it twice. You know, I was going up in the mountains.
I understand, but let's say you were a very pretty woman or you were a black guy. You know, but I'm just saying that they'll let the pretty woman slide, and the black guy, they'll give him a third degree, you know? But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, I don't believe in that. I don't know. Does that really happen?
I hope not. I think it does happen, to be honest with you. But in reality, if you're, you know, not bothering anybody and no one's complaining about you, and you're
dude was complaining about me, and I said, it's tobacco, right?
No, I know, but like, you know those things where you have the vape pipe that doesn't really make any smoke? You know, I think if you're acting, you know, if you're doing things discreetly, I think you're going to be able to get away with a whole lot more in life. And
that's fun. I was heckling all the politicians as they rode by.
All right. Well, then, you know, you're drawing attention to yourself. Again, eventually someone's going to get with the motorbike and say, hey, that asshole over there, you know, let's arrest him. He's smoking a joint. But I think
it's my medicine, you know. This is my medicine, Your Honor.
Okay. Well. By the time you hire the lawyer and go to court and it's, you know, medicine, Your Honor, obviously we've reached a much later stage of the proceedings. Best avoided.
Yeah, right,
exactly. And by the way, I knew a guy, up in Washington State, and it's also sold here if you had to look around like at pavilions. There is a brand of beer that is, a root beer made by a beer brewer named Thomas Kemper. It's called Thomas Kemper Root Beer.
Root beer.
And it is sold in a brown bottle, the exact shape, dimensions, and color of a beer bottle.
It really looks like a beer.
Yes. And I knew people who would get in the car, and they would be sucking down Thomas Kemper Root Beer, and then get pulled over and start fucking with the cops.
Brilliant.
That's what they do.
This is entertainment for people?
Yeah, it is.
We'll have to get some new hobbies.
Some people really hate cops, and this is what they do.
How, if you hate a cop, are you accomplishing anything by having him pull you over and tricking him or something?
Ha-ha, I'm not drunk.
Officer.
Ha-ha.
All right, well, you get out of the car, and I'm going to kick your ass anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Tell everybody again how they can get in touch with you.
Sure, of course. Toll free, give me a call, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check my web, www.adamlawyer.com, and email me at adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. You know, Adam is here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Got to give it up.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. LoveYouTom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine, The Lord of the Beer.
Got to give it up.
Beer Magazine, Jacksonville, Florida man, 72 years old, charged in a 50-year-old sex case. 50 years ago, he diddled a victim between the ages of 12 and 17.
Well, I guess
got away with it for 50 years.
Yeah, I'm surprised they can go back that far. I thought that they could get away with it. That's awesome. No,
apparently
in Florida,
they can.
There is no statute of limitations. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Look at our Floridian friend there, Edward James Sundy.
Imagine him living with that for 50 years, thinking, oh, well, 30's passed. They probably got away with it. 40 passed. I'm in the clear.
Yes.
Then maybe not so much.
No. They did charge him. You know that the person had been haunted that whole time, the victim. And dude was just cruising around like nothing happened.
Right.
They didn't identify whether the person was male or female in this case. Looking at him, I'm going to guess male.
Right. Amazing stuff. Apparently there's a second case where the person was 6 years old when your boy started.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, he's 22 at the time.
Holy shit.
Wow.
In an opposite sort of thing, a Snickers bandit, the dude they call the Snickers bar bandit.
Which I completely understand.
Was jailed for 114 days for stealing Snickers bars. 114 days.
That's a little too much.
Apparently this is a problem there at Cook County in Illinois.
Stealing the Snickers.
Stealing of the Snickers. A pregnant woman arrested last summer accused of stealing plums and candy still is behind bars.
I'm sure the taxpayers in the county, Cook County, are very happy about this. Both of the incarcerations together has cost the county $36,000.
$36,000. They say it costs $143 a day just to keep somebody in jail there. $143 a day. For Snickers bars.
Yeah, dude. The sheriff is now asking for what they call rocket docket, which is the second time I've heard that phrase in a week. It is a way that they can quickly get through some of these ridiculous...
That's the pet name for your penis, is it not? The rocket docket?
The rocket docket. There it goes. Yeah, our friend, for stealing Snicker bars, I mean, 114 days, I'd get the electric chair the way I go.
Yeah. Sheriff saying basically that every single week about 5 to 10 inmates are jailed that just don't even belong there. And then we pay $143 a day to keep them there.
Man.
This doesn't make much sense, does it?
I mean, he poses this question, and he's right. Are we really protecting society? Yeah. Are we rehabilitating these people? And the answer to both cases are no.
R&B singer Angie Stone arrested Monday in Georgia for domestic aggravated assault against who? Her 30-year-old daughter. She's 53. She apparently punched her in the teeth.
Yeah, but it gets better because she knocked the teeth out.
There's actual pictures of the teeth knocked out.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but it's funny.
No, it's not good. By the way, they've had better times together, and this just happened to not be one of those days.
Yeah.
Our friend said that she defended herself. It was defending herself with one of those metal stands, but accidentally hit her in the face, knocking the teeth out. And she said she realized it was a mistake, and she tried to fucking flee.
Took off.
She dropped the stand and split.
It's pretty goddamn funny.
Yes.
Damn it. Finally, a pick alert for you. It's Candace Swanepoel. She's out of South Africa. We all know that. And she did something for a Blondie. It's called Blondie Magazine.
Blondie Magazine.
Holy
I'm sure
it's lingerie.
It's just that.
It may be the big pick here in the thing you sent me. Maybe one of the best pictures I've seen
ever
of her all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. I guess a lot of women buy into the fact that if you put one of these things on, you're going to look like that.
All right.
And
well,
there might be some waiting.
Keep on dreaming.
There might be some waiting.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
I think she's dead.